right. We are in our fifth week of Lent, the season of Lent, talking about hope. Next Sunday already is the Palm Sunday. Thank you. We're going to pass out branches, palm branches, at the back there. As you come in, if you want one, you'll be able to get one, and then you'll be able to do this and that first song as the kids lead us in that first song next week. So, and then of course Easter, you're welcome to join us for that as well. April 5th, that's the following Sunday. In between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday is Maundy Thursday. We celebrate Holy Week in the middle of the week on Thursday. And that service is here at 6:30 on Maundy Thursday. So you're welcome to bring everybody and come for that as well. So in my one of my resources I have to find hope this way, we're talking about hope, we're speaking of hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And here it says, this defines hope this way: the confidence that by integrating God's redemptive acts in the past with trusting human responses in the present, the faithful will experience the fullness of God's goodness both in the present and in the future. And we do that by trusting in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 15 speaks of hope, and we're going to look at that this morning very briefly. Romans 15, 4 through 13, it says this, it begins this way: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of hope there. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you fill us with that hope because of the Lord Jesus, and you make our hearts overflow with that hope so that we can share that hope with others around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans to the church in Rome, begins this section. It's the end of the letter, and he begins this section with everything, for everything that was written in the past, everything that was written in the past was written to teach who? Us. Okay, everything that was written in the past, Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, everything that was written in the past was written to teach you and I. There's a purpose behind it, and then we see it in the first few verses. When you see "so that," you know that there's a purpose behind it. Okay, this happened. Everything that was written in the past happened so that, that's the purpose clause, and here's the words: through the endurance taught in the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we, all of us, might have what? Hope. If you're lacking hope this morning, here it is. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach you and I. And everything that the Scriptures have written was to give us endurance to live our lives here and encouragement in order to give us hope. H-O-P-E. Hope. We're talking about hope this morning. We have received hope in and through Jesus Christ. And through the endurance taught by God, through the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We have hope. We have a hope that rises because of Jesus, because Jesus first rose for us. John records Jesus' words. Jesus said this, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Lifted up here means when I am resurrected, when I am lifted to the cross, then eventually 3 days later to be resurrected. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself through the message of the gospel, through the message of hope that we have in the one who is hope, our living hope that we sang in our song just a few moments ago. Paul goes on, and it really reads like a prayer, like a benediction, like a blessing. He says these words once again, May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, elsewhere, very similar words he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He said this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said this. It also reads like a blessing or a benediction. And he said this, "May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope," there's the word again, good hope, "encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." We have the hope of Jesus in us, and because of the Lord's endurance and encouragement, our hearts are strengthened. We all have a hope that rises because Jesus first rose for us. I'm going to give you an acronym. Pastors do that sometimes. They give you acronyms. You know what an acronym is? Guess what the acronym is going to be. What word? Thank you. And I was going to be worried if somebody didn't know that the word was hope. We're talking about hope this morning. So H-O-P-E. Ready, kids? You ready, big kids? H, here it is. What do you think H stands for? Heaven? No. What? Happiness. That's a good one, but no. Let's bring more out. Come on. Holiness. Nope. No more H's there? What? Hearing. The message of the word of Christ. Hearing. I love that. All those H words are good, but here it is. If you're writing the notes down, hold fast to the Scriptures. Why do we hold fast to the Scriptures? Why hold fast? Because He first held fast to us. The living Word of God, Jesus Christ, held fast to us. And so He wants us to hold fast to His Word, to the living Scriptures. It's a living document. It's not a dead document. This is the living Word of God. You ever had the question of somebody, well, how do I hear from God? Read the Word. How do I hear from Him? Here it is. This is His love letter to you. We hold fast to the Scriptures. We hold fast to the Word of God. Because God in Christ held fast to you, Paul begins by reminding the church that whatever was written in the former days, in the past, was written for our instruction to teach us. So Scripture is not merely information. It's not just assent to understand and knowledge. It's not just that. It is that. But Scripture, it's a means of giving endurance and encouragement so that we might have. Thank you. It's interactive, if you didn't know that already. It's interactive sometimes on these messages. Not all the time, but sometimes. When I'm looking for an answer, you got to yell it out, shout it out. Hope! Hope grows where the word is planted. Hope grows where the word is planted. Hope grows where the word is planted. The stories of God's faithfulness in the past become fuel for in the present, living in the present. Augustine wrote, he's a saint way back, one of the old ancients. Augustine wrote, hope has two beautiful daughters. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. His point? Christian hope is not passive. Not something we just tuck in our pocket and walk down the street. It leans on God's promises and moves forward. Hope is living with courage. God blesses us with the message of hope, and we get to share that with others. Something strange about you. You're weird. I am. What is it? There's something about you. It's the Lord Jesus and the hope that I have. Not only here and now, but then when I see him face to face, when you all see him face to face, because of the faith that you have now in Christ, your living hope. Paul prays that God would grant believers to live in harmony with one another. What? He wants us to get along? What? Why? They will know you. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your acquaintances, the guy that puts gas in your car. Yes, there is a place in Grand Forks that does it. What's it called? Bob's Oil. You go there, they'll fill you with gas. In Canada, that was more common than here. Still is at co-op, right? Get out of, you have a choice in Canada? Okay. Wants us to get along because when they see that the hope you have in you, which is Jesus Christ, the living one, they'll want maybe to know about that. And you get to share that with them. That was H. Hold fast to the scriptures. Oh, I'm not going to ask you for any, because we got to get going here. Oh means open your life to one another. What? Open your life to one another. Paul prays, live in harmony with one another. Hope is not a private possession where I can just take it and keep it and hide it. It's a shared reality that shapes how we welcome, how we forgive, how we bear with each other, how we pray for one another, how we gather and encourage one another. Hope creates unity. Yes, it does. It makes room for others. It shapes how we welcome and how we forgive each other. And it reflects Christ who welcomes us and gives us hope. So to accept one another is to embody or live out the hope we receive and then proclaim. H-O-P, P is for Hudson, you're okay. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise God for his faithfulness. Here's what Paul said again. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles, that's you and I, might glorify God for his mercy. Paul points us to God's faithfulness. Then he goes on and cites Old Testament verses about the Gentiles receiving Christ and then responding in praise to God. Paul roots hope in God's covenant-keeping character. Christ came as a servant to confirm God's promises to Israel and to extend mercy to the Gentiles. The result? Praise! Hope, yes, thank you. But praise! Hope sings because God keeps his word. Hope rejoices because God's mercy is wide enough for the nations. Hope worships because Christ is the fulfillment of every promise. Every promise. Did you know that every promise that God makes to you has come true? Every one of them. And they're yes and amen in Christ. Paul strings together these Old Testament passages to show that God's plan has always been global. It's always been global. It's to every tribe and every nation and every tongue that they would come to know Christ now so that they would be with us then. God's plan is gracious. God's plan is merciful and it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed, 100% guaranteed, because it's based on His promises. So we have hope because God is the God of hope. E. You didn't think I was getting there. E. Is that an E? Okay. That's not an E. This is an E, right? Which one's E for you? This one? Okay, yeah. Paul ends with a blessing. Like I do at the end of the service, you're going to receive God's blessing, okay? Paul ends his section with a blessing. He says this, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that, what's that purpose clause? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to how Paul ties our hope and peace to the faith we have been given from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since there was something that came before, Romans 3 and 4, you are in Christ by faith. Now, Romans 5, therefore, since you have been justified by faith or made right in God's sight, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I just see God with a big giant picture. God's love and His peace and His joy just poured out into our hearts. Just takes this giant God picture, opens up your heart and pours that love and that peace and that joy that only comes in and through Jesus Christ. And it that picture's coming, people. And it has come, but it's not just staying there. It's going to overflow. It's going to overflow. Holy Spirit pours love and hope into our hearts. Anna was a young girl. About 9 or 10. Who felt like hope had slipped through her fingers. Her parents were separating. The house was filled with tension. She carried a quiet fear that nothing would ever be whole again. One afternoon, she wandered into a small church just to find a moment of silence to get away from the madness and the chaos that was going on in her own house. She sat there. She noticed a Bible left open on the front pew. The words caught her eye. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In that moment, she realized hope wasn't something she had to manufacture. Hope was something God gives. Hope was someone who welcomed her. So as she sat with those words, a small but steady confidence rose in her heart, not because of her circumstances changing, because she sensed the God of hope was near. So as we think about the God of hope who's near. He's near because of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is pouring that giant pitcher of hope into your heart so that you might overflow. As we think about the season of Lent coming to a close soon, we're reminded that we're to hold fast to the Scriptures because they hold fast to us. And we're reminded that we can open our lives to one another and accept one another because Christ first accepted you and I. And we can praise God as we receive that hope. We can give praise back to Him for that hope that He's given us as a gift. And we expect the Spirit to fill us with joy, peace, and overflowing hope. Why? Why can we expect that He's going to do that? Well, He promised. Remember, He keeps a promise always. So that, here's the purpose clause again, others might come to know the God of hope. Like the little girl. Jesus, the one who gives us hope that rises because He first rose for us, may the God of hope make us a people of hope, so full, so steady, so rooted in Christ that the world cannot help but notice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for the hope You give based upon Your promises and the Word of God, based upon Jesus Christ and what You've done for us. We receive that hope poured into our hearts this morning. Fresh, give us new hope so that it can overflow so that others around us might know the God of hope and come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name.